Good morning. You're listening to After Deadline. I'm Nancy McCarthy. I'm a reporter for the Daily Astorian and editor of the Cannon Beach Gazette and the Seaside Signal. Today we are talking about tsunamis, our very favorite subject here on the North Coast. Many of us are aware that we could be in store for a Cascadia earthquake and a resulting tsunami. We could do that. That could be our local event, or we might also be subject to a distance tsunami, which might occur from an earthquake in Alaska or around the Pacific Rim. We have had some rallies in the North Coast lately. They're the tsunami rallies, and we've had quite a few people attending those rallies to learn more about what could occur in a tsunami and to look at a few new maps that have just come out. So today we're going to be talking to Leanne Thompson, who is a community specialist for Dagami, and Dagami is the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries. We're also going to be talking to Peter Ovington, who is the outreach specialist for Dagami, and they're going to talk about what has been going on in the rallies, about the new maps, and what we might be able to expect in the future. Welcome.
Good morning, Nancy. Thanks
How are
for having
you?
Us on. Good.
Hi, Nancy.
I wanted to ask you, first of all, tell us about the new maps. How did they come about? Why do we have new maps? Why do we need new maps?
So folks may have the old version of our maps in hand, and if they do, we want them to pick up a new one and replace the old one. The Department of Geology and Mineral Industries has been working under a grant from the federal government, from NOAA, for the last 4 years to develop new maps that reflect the latest science and newer mapping technology, and also incorporate some really hard-earned lessons from earthquakes and tsunamis that took place around the world over the last 10 years in places like Chile, Southeast Asia, and Japan, of course, 2 years ago. So the new maps take kind of the best of old-fashioned detective work, geologic detective work, and also the best of new technology using a tool called LIDAR, which is similar to radar, except instead of using sound waves, it uses pulses of laser light to map the terrain. And it creates these amazing maps that we can sort of connect to a computer model based on all this data and find out where these different kinds of tsunamis are likely to go in a worst-case scenario. Put it on one map, a simple map that folks can read, showing the very worst-case scenarios, and kind of make that a tool for understanding your community and where the dangers are, and taking steps to really protect yourself and your family.
There have been old maps. There were old maps, but dating at least since, what, about 2007, I think, in Cannon Beach, I think, had the first map. Is that right?
Yeah, Cannon Beach had the most, the first of kind of the new generation of maps using this new information. We did a pilot study down in Cannon Beach, and they've been pretty active down there, so they were one of the first. But some of the older maps date back to the 1990s, and they're really based on older information, and so these new products are really the latest and greatest.
So the old information, as I understand it, people thought at one time that it wouldn't reach, it would be only maybe about 30 feet in elevation, and if you got higher than 30 feet, you would be pretty safe. And now what is it?
Yeah, so the elevation really varies based on the local topography, and in some areas, the old maps do show a smaller event. They tended to show something more on the scale of, say, a medium-sized Cascadia subduction zone earthquake tsunami. And the new ones really show the very extra, extra large worst-case scenario. So it's a difference of kind of what's the worst possible, and it's also really, you know, what's the best information, because the new maps really do show the kind of thing that could happen and that did happen 2 years ago in Japan.
So you've been going up and down the entire coast talking to people about these new maps, and are there new maps for the entire coast, right? It's not just the North Coast.
Yeah, this is kind of exciting just this month, because we released the final set of maps for the entire Oregon coast. We mapped Clatsop County last because we got the model data for that toward the end of the project. And we've been, this is a four-year project. We've already been down in many of the other counties. We've done mapping and outreach programs in most of the counties. This spring we were down in Lincoln County, Lane County in the Florence area, Douglas County and Reedsport and those areas, and then also down in the very northern tip of Coos County. And last year we were in Tillamook County and also in the Coos Bay area and did a lot of outreach down there and had a really nice turnout for one of our big evacuation drills in Coos Bay. Several thousand people turned out to practice their evacuation route. It was really tremendous. Wow. And so the idea has been to remap the entire Oregon coast. And in 4 years, it's been a tall order because there's a lot of terrain to cover. But we're happy with the maps that are out, and we think people will be much more prepared now.
Leanne, you have been to these four rallies on the North Coast. You're basically focusing on the North Coast. You're a Clatsop County resident and talking to people a lot about these maps. What has been the response at the rally, at the rallies? Where have the rallies been, and where do we have? We have another rally, I think, tomorrow, don't we, as well?
We do, Nancy. So far, we began in Warrenton. We moved on to Astoria. Last night was Seaside, Arch Cape, and it's possible that Cannon Beach will have one as well. It's sort of a contradiction in terms. You think about a rally, you think, oh, it's a pep rally. People are going to get excited. They're going to talk about how to win the game.
Sure, rah, rah.
Well, it really is sort of like that, because what we're talking about is how to take the science that those very capable scientists from Dogami have collected and translated into maps. Those maps include the safe zones. They include the routes to get there. So no matter where we are, it isn't just that we know where we live, because we don't stay there all the time. It isn't just where we work. We don't stay there all the time. That's why at every rally, we have all seven of the new evacuation brochures, all seven of the maps. So the thing to do, really, is to do what people have begun already. Get a map or look it up on the internet. Go to OregonTsunami.gov. Look up. You can put in your very own address there. You can put in the address of really wherever you are and see, where am I? How safe am I? So the idea is to wake up, develop situational awareness. Where am I? Where is safe ground? And how would I get there if I needed to? Then relax. Then enjoy your life. Have a good time. Because really, you've taken care of what needs to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. None of us has control over when and how we exit our mortal coil, you know, the body, you know, because all of us are going to die sometime. We don't like to talk about it. It's not particularly a fun topic. But if we have this awareness, the kids at school are starting to take this home to their parents. It's really wonderful, because this is essentially a message of hope. We have hopeful information here. Understand your risk. These maps present the worst case scenario. So it's really good to know what's the worst case, because you plan for that, and then you deal with whatever happens because you're ready, you're prepared. Then you can take care of yourself, you can take care of your families, you can take care of your friends and neighbors. Because if we do have a serious catastrophic event, the first responders won't be able to be there. They'll have to take care of themselves and their families. Mm-hmm. You know, things will be disrupted.
And they'll do their best, of course, but they'll be so overwhelmed. I mean, this will be a huge scale event. I think of it kind of like just wearing my seatbelt. You know, I put it on, I click it, I forget about it, and then I drive along my way. I did want to mention the rally tomorrow in Arch Cape is at the Arch Cape Fire Station at 10 a.m. And the website, again, is OregonTsunami.org. It may work at .gov.gov as well, but I'm not sure. I think .org is the one that we send folks to usually.
Well, as I understand it, people have been really turning out for these rallies. You had, 110 in Warrenton? And tell me some more about that.
140 last night in Seaside and 140 very interested people, because the Red Cross always comes to these, so there's free food, which people always like. Well, take home a meal so you can start your the go bag that you grab.
Free food for later, right?
Free food for later, not free food for then. Please don't go out to the parking lot and eat it right there. But
dehydrated MRE or something.
Well, you know what? If you're hungry, it's going to taste really good.
That's right.
So people, at least half of the people, stayed around to ask more questions and answers. So there's really, Nancy, you ask, how are people responding? There's a high level of interest. Now, there may be people who are overwhelmed, who are resigned, who say, you know what, I give up. Well, okay, you can do that. It's not the choice I would recommend. It's not what I'm going to do for myself, because I'm interested in staying alive and having a good life as long as I can. And I want to help other people do the same thing. So maybe some of those people who aren't so eager to get involved will see, as we do Map Your Neighborhood activities in the fall, as we develop expanded CERT teams, as we look at the Red Cross volunteer network, as we look at the ham radio network, there are really a variety of ways to be prepared. I say I want to make friends with the people who have helicopters and barges and food to bring to me.
There you go.
Make friends in high places, too. Yeah. That's right.
So you have seven maps for Clatsop County. Warrenton, Astoria, Sunset Beach, Seaside and Gearhart, Cannon Beach, and Arch Cape. Is that right? And then Youngs River Valley, I think, is connected to the Sunset Beach map. Is that right?
We made a separate map for Youngs River Valley. Sometimes we divide the maps up based on feedback from local officials and kind of the scale of the map. Sometimes they like to fit a larger area on a single map, and other times they say, you know, let's zoom in closer and have separate maps. The former map for Cannon Beach combined Cannon Beach and Arch Cape together, and now we've separated those out to provide kind of a closer scale and a larger area, really.
When the maps were first started to be drawn, and I guess the finished maps, were there any surprises along the way in terms of what the scientists found for inundation areas?
You know, some of the maps didn't see a lot of change, like the Cannon Beach map. The inundation area is fairly close to what it was before. And in other areas, the inundation is just quite a bit farther inland. And people up and down the coast were a little bit surprised by that, I think. One example is down in Yahats in Lincoln County. There are folks who understood themselves to be outside of the hazard zone, and they saw these new maps, and it was a bit of a wake-up call. So I guess it's a surprise to a lot of folks looking at the maps, but to our geologists, it's not as much of a surprise, because we did model the very worst-case scenario. I want to emphasize that the yellow area on these maps showing a worst-case local tsunami from a Cascadia earthquake off our coast is a fairly rare event. It is not something that comes along every few years.
Right.
Our last Cascadia earthquake was 313 years ago, and that was kind of a small to medium-sized event on the scale.
But it was felt in Japan.
It was. They got a few waves, a few small waves in Japan. They have written record of that. So the bulk of this 10,000-year history of Cascadia earthquakes off our coast generates kind of small and medium and maybe some large-sized tsunamis. We kind of rank them based on T-shirt sizes from small to extra, extra large. And then every kind of few thousand years, there seems to be one of these extra large or extra, extra large tsunamis. And there's not much rhyme or reason to it. We can't predict when the next one will happen, but these very extra, extra large tsunamis are rare. And so what I want to emphasize when folks look at the maps is that, every step inland or to higher ground is a step towards safety. And you should not give up. You should not be discouraged by how far that yellow line goes, because it may not go that far in the next tsunami.
Mm-hmm.
It just might not. So we want to plan for the worst, hope for the best. We don't want to be caught off guard like Japan was, where they did not plan for the worst case scenario. And we want to stay safe.
Well, and I understand, too, there are some areas on the North Coast that are lower than what you had expected or what the scientists had expected. I'm thinking of Gearhart, for instance, where on the map. It does have one feature that most of the other maps don't have, and that is a green hatched area that kind of says this is high ground 95% of the time.
That's right. We created the first draft of the map for Gearheart, and we sat down with the local officials, and they looked at it and said, okay, so where do we go?
Right.
There's nowhere to go. There's just very little high ground in that worst-case scenario. So let's talk about planning for maybe the next worst-case scenario, and what does that look like? So we adjusted the map, and we found that in that scenario, there actually was some high ground, and we could designate some of what we call assembly areas, places to gather in the event of a tsunami that are safe. And so we did create that hatched area, as you say. We call it the optional high ground area. And it is dry in 95% of the scenarios. It's just that extra, extra large worst case in which it is not safe. And so for folks who live in Gearheart or visit there, it's a matter of looking at the map, getting to know your landscape, and kind of taking your own personal risk assessment and saying, all right, you know, can I make it to the true high ground? Or based on time or based on my own sort of physical abilities or based on things in my way, should I just hang tight and go for the optional high ground?
Yeah. Leanne, since you've been traveling around the North Coast talking to people about this particular subject, how prepared do you think the North Coast is? The people in general are on the North Coast.
Well, Nancy, like anything else in human experience, there's a wide range. Some people are very well prepared, as much as we can be with that level of risk and the uncertainty, because for a local tsunami, the warning is the ground shakes. So there's really no time to get information about, and how bad is this? Once the ground stops shaking and you've come up unprotected yourself from under the desk or wherever mm-hmm. you've been under your mattress, you need to get to high ground as quickly as possible if you're not already there. I live at 130 feet, so unless the trees fall on me, I'm pretty good at 130 feet as far as height goes.
Mm-hmm.
So I have, according to my circumstances, a certain level of preparation. Everybody has, according to their circumstances, a certain level of preparation. The thing to do is look around you, see what can be done, see what needs to be done, and then, like eating an elephant, little bites. But little bites persistently taken.
Mm-hmm.
I now have under my nightstand, because they really don't fit well under my bed, I have under my nightstand a pair of hiking boots and a helmet, because the number one injury in case of an earthquake is cut feet from broken glass, mm-hmm. walking barefoot on broken glass.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a simple thing to do. But, you know, every night before I go to bed, I look at those boots and that hard hat, and I feel happy because I know I've done something important to protect my own safety and well-being. So wherever it is, you know, in the Red Cross book, pages 4 and 5, Together We Can, there's information about how to collect the things that you need. Start any place. Start where you are and continue. Because there are, from the very, very prepared range, clear down to the people who say, it's hopeless for me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not the kind of person who ever likes to think that things are hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know I can do something. And I'd encourage everybody to look at what you can do right now and then keep taking little bites persistently.
And you are listening to KMUN, Coast Community Radio. I'm Nancy McCarthy. This is After Deadline. We are talking today to Leanne Thompson and Peter Ovington. They are from the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries, also affectionately known as DOGAMI. And we are talking about the evacuation maps that DOGAMI has just released that show where the inundation lines might be in your community for either a distant tsunami or a local tsunami. Peter, how does the North Coast compare in preparation compared to other counties in Oregon?
Well, you know, it varies, I'd say, not so much by county as it does by individual community. There are some towns on the North Coast, like Cannon Beach, that have been at this for a number of years. They participated in our pilot study when we did some of the early mapping. They've also got some unique groups like walking groups who actually go out and practice their evacuation routes just sort of for fitness and for fun and also for a learning experience. And they've got a pretty engaged city government, which always helps. Then there's other communities who, for whom this information, I think, is newer and maybe a little bit scarier, and communities who maybe thought they were outside of harm's way, perhaps upriver. So this is newer information. And so allowing time for that info to sink in and have the conversations like we're having at these rallies is really important, because there's a lot of, it's kind of an emotional experience, not just a learning experience and about the science and the preparedness, but it's an emotional experience to hear that, you know, your business may be at risk or your home is in a tsunami hazard zone. So we like to have those conversations. We like to kind of start where people are and, again, encourage folks that there is hope. There's no need to give up. Every step inland is a step towards safety. And just real quick, one thing that I also have next to my bed is a headlamp.
Oh, yeah.
Because in Oregon, it's wet and dark much of the year. And if the earthquake and tsunami happens at 4 a.m, and when all the power goes out and your town is pitch dark, you're going to want that headlamp, and you could literally save the lives of dozens of people by leading them to high ground. So a simple LED headlamp only costs a few dollars. You can pick them up at a hardware store or a camping supply store. That's a really good tool to have. But again, the preparedness really varies up and down the coast and from town to town. We found that some communities who don't have a lot of local government, who may be in an unincorporated area of a county, they can be very prepared because they're sort of tight-knit neighbors. They know they're on their own. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you see folks buying solar panels to charge their electronics if a disaster happens. You see communities like down in Nehalem Bay, Manzanita and others, who learned this lesson back in 2007 when there was a huge winter storm. And they've now got a terrific grassroots organization, the Emergency Volunteer Corps of Nehalem Bay. They do a lot of preparedness work, and sometimes it takes those little emergencies to prepare us for the bigger one that's coming someday.
I think that's how Cannon Beach got started, was through the 2007 storm, was, maybe we should think seriously about preparing ourselves, not only for a tsunami or an earthquake, but for our regular storms that we have every winter. Maybe we should think about shelters and preparing supplies and so forth. So,
and I think even nationally and internationally, there's more awareness these days after we see things on TV like Hurricane Sandy, Hurricane Katrina, earthquakes in Haiti, tsunamis in Japan. We're really the first generation, actually, thanks to our media and thanks to our new knowledge about the Cascadia subduction zone. We are literally the first generation that understands this threat in the way that we do. And so we really have kind of a responsibility to our kids and our grandkids and ourselves to do something with that information and be ready, and then forget about it and enjoy the coast.
I just want to say one more thing about mm-hmm. being ready. The other part is that behavioral rehearsal is scouting evacuation routes. Mm-hmm. Really practice it, rehearse it, because when we're under great stress, it's our tissue memories that tend to save us. It's why our first responders do all those drills. So there's a tsunami drill, the Great Oregon Shakeout, 10:17 a.m. on October 17th, 10:17 on 10:17. You don't have to wait till then. You can get these maps at your local fire station, city hall. You can see your route. Go ahead and practice it. It's okay.
And it's not just in the area you live either. It would be anywhere that you might go on a fairly frequent basis.
Exactly so.
Yeah. And it can be fun too.
It's supposed to be.
We have a similar outreach effort down in Douglas County, and one of our staff there was talking to a guy in a donut shop, and the guy in the donut shop was drinking his coffee. He said, you know what? I live in the green area. I'm fine. I don't need to worry about this stuff. And Terry said to him, well, you're eating a donut, though, in the yellow area, the hazard zone. So think about it, you know, get your map and get ready.
And you mentioned, Leanne, where they can get the maps. Let's repeat that. It's City Hall?
Fire stations. Are a really good place to get these maps. They're supplied all over the county. And you really want to have them. And again, all seven of them, plus the application on your cell phone or because, look, as Peter has said many, many times, if there is an earthquake locally, the cell phone towers are going to be down.
Right.
Have your paper map printed out in your hand.
Mm-hmm. And these maps are free, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the evacuation brochures are free. We also have these more detailed technical maps called inundation maps that you can purchase through our website. They show the whole range of scenarios from small to extra, extra large. But really, the evacuation map is your key piece. And you can also download the maps for free at OregonTsunami.org, and you can get that smartphone app there as well.
Once people have their map and they know their evacuation route, and they might even know where their assembly area is, what can they expect after that? Once they get to their assembly area, what happens?
Well, assembly areas were chosen by local first responders, so they can expect that after an event, emergency officials will show up at that assembly area. They'll know to look for people there. And then generally an evacuation center would be established somewhere after it can be determined that the building is safe to enter. This could be like a high school gymnasium or something. And that'll be more of a resource with electricity and food and water. An assembly area is just that first place to go to know you've reached high ground. It'll be marked by a sign with an A symbol on it. And it's typically like a church parking lot or city park, places like that.
Could I say something about the shelters? It's Red Cross training that helps people set up and have shelters. We need to learn how to do this for ourselves. So I'd encourage people also to contact the Red Cross if they're interested in being that kind of volunteer to help themselves again.
And then you also have CERT teams, too. And I know Leanne is very involved in the CERT program. Tell us just a real short little bit about that.
Community Emergency Response Teams. You can take the CERT training and not have to join formally a local team. If you want to be part of a team, there's every opportunity to do it. If you just want to get the information so that, again, it's in your brain and in your tissue memory, Nancy knows how to reach me. We can tell people how to do this. Mm-hmm. It'll work.
What's next? Are there any more maps in our future?
Well, these maps are really the latest and greatest, and we expect them to be around for a good while, you know, probably at least 10 to 15 years. Other states are working on this stuff as well. California and Washington have their own maps. They're a little bit different. They've taken a different approach, but these are the maps for the near future, and they're going to serve us very well, I think. Folks should get to know them and be confident that the information is good for quite a while.
And what about more research, then? Is there any more research on the horizon?
Other opportunities? We'd love to, if we could get some grant money for it, we'd love to do other things like improving the wayfinding and signage in all communities. We've got tsunami signs as part of this grant that we're providing to communities, but improved wayfinding. Down in Newport, they developed a tsunami trail in South Beach so that area, which is very exposed, has some kind of interpretive signage and maps posted.
That's a great idea.
Leading to high ground. And there's plenty of other things we could do, testing pedestrian evacuation times. Some of that work is going on now. So no shortage of tsunami safety projects to work on.
That's great. All right, let's review then. We have another tsunami rally tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Leanne, tell us again the time and the place.
10 a.m., the new Arch Cape Firehouse. It smells so much better than the old one, and it's a lovely space.
It is a nice space. It's right off the highway there on the east side of the highway. And where can they get the maps?
Fire stations.
Maps are free, right? And what is the website again?
OregonTsunami.org, and the smartphone app is called Tsunami Evac-NW if you have an iPhone or an Android.
All right. Well, you have now gotten all the information that anybody could possibly give about tsunamis. If you want to learn more, please go to the rally tomorrow in Arch Cape. Thank you, Leanne, and thank you, Peter, for joining me today and talking about the new tsunami maps and some of the new information coming out about tsunamis in our local area. This is Nancy McCarthy, and you have been listening to After Deadline.
You've been listening to After Deadline, a joint production of the Daily Astorian and Coast Community Radio. After Deadline is heard on Coast Community Radio every Friday morning at 9:30, and you can download a podcast of this program from our on-demand service on the web at coastradio.org. Just click on the After Deadline program box on the homepage. In a few minutes.